There's only one 1080, your local news talk radio for Monterey Bay.
And welcome back, Monterey Bay, to the Saturday special on AM 1080 KSCO. Michael Zwirling with you today, along with studio guests Robert Norse, Fred Gray, Jane Immler, and Linda Edwards. The topic of discussion today is homelessness and homeless advocacy in the Monterey Bay area. We would like to hear from you. You may call us at 479-1080 or 685-1080. We will be on the air for the next 54 minutes, right up until noontime, and that will be our discussion. Stay with us at noontime, for right after CNN News at noon, you will hear The Answer Man, starring Lance Brown, and his guest today will be discussing a building and remodeling and so forth. So it's your local news talk radio for the Monterey Bay, AM 1080 KSCO. We will go back to the phone line now. I believe we were talking with Rebecca, who was right in the middle of a pulse-stopping comment. How you doing, Rebecca? You still there?
Yeah, I'm still there.
Okay. Where were we? I think I had to cut you off. I'm sorry, because the news was right on us.
That's okay. I was making a statement that homeless people are not only people that are bums and that don't work. People that work aren't able to afford housing or adequate housing, and therefore they become homeless.
Exactly so.
I'd also like to throw into that mix the notion that a lot of people who do have jobs are bums who don't work their jobs. There are lots of people collecting a check who consider themselves employed who never break a sweat. It cuts both ways.
That's true.
But the point I'm trying to make is that there is a real problem with homelessness, and I feel that programs shouldn't only be set up to help those that meet the guidelines to qualify for welfare. It should also help the people that are honestly struggling to make a living and aren't able to do it. And as I mentioned before, I've been evicted a number of times for failure to pay my rent on time because I've never earned enough to actually be comfortable paying the amount of rent that's required.
Rebecca, you mentioned earlier last hour that you are relatively new to the area.
Right.
Where are you from?
Arizona.
And the cost of living is on a par with this area of California, where you are from?
No, the housing here is approximately double what it is in Arizona.
And you were having a hard time making ends meet even in Arizona, you're saying?
Even in Arizona, because the wages are lower.
I see.
So I came out here with a $3 an hour raise, and I'm just as poor as I was before.
You know, Rebecca, one of the contributing factors to homelessness in Santa Cruz City specifically is the fact that there was a absolutely rampant speculation on property values, which Santa Cruz had way undervalued property. And during the early mid-70s into the 80s, houses were being bought that were being turned over in a month or two by people to spec on that sort of infomercial midnight Channel 36 kind of show where, you know, you buy it cheap and you sell it in a month and you pocket the difference. That kind of thing happened in Santa Cruz, over and over and over and over again. And it just drove the cost of servicing mortgages just way through the roof. And Santa Cruz is a small town, really. Had just, relatively few units. So There are people who made significant amounts of money off that period of time who've really caused some of the problems that folks like us are trying to deal with. And those are, by and large, the self-same folks who come off in a real righteous tone of voice about, how they work and they do this and they do that. And in some cases, they're part of the problem here.
I think the question then is also when people reach the streets, and I'm glad you're not there yet, but you've been there. What can be done that they themselves can do to get together to guarantee their own rights when they're in that situation? I mean, I also encourage people who aren't on the streets to guarantee their own rights, of course. But if you're homeless, you're in a particularly vulnerable position. Recently, we've heard reports of discrimination against homeless at Zanato's grocery downtown, several other stores, the whole downtown.
Also at Free Meals, too.
And at Free Meals. Maybe you want to talk about that, Linda. Well, I think maybe you two. Well, you two are going to talk about that. I think.
Maybe.
Somebody talk.
Talk, please.
It's talk radio.
Exactly.
Somebody talk.
Or we're pioneering a new format in radio, silent radio.
Well, this does seem to be an increasing problem here in Santa Cruz, where both the activists and the homeless are essentially being told to shut up and sit down. And this is very frightening because...
Or shut up and get out.
Right, because this is infringing on their First Amendment rights. And we've had just a recent incident of that at the city, county, state, federal sponsored free meal here in Santa Cruz. And I think, Linda, you can give you some examples of trying... She was circulating a petition.
Yes, they... we're talking about homeless people, and then we talk about homeless services, and it looks to me like there's some kind of contradiction here. You know, this is just where I'm coming from, and as a homeless person, and how I've been treated because I have a certain type of political stand or whatever in Santa Cruz that they don't like. And apparently the city puts the pressure on the free meals to censor our free speech to talk to homeless people and try to empower homeless people to speak for themselves and stand up for their rights. And apparently they don't want homeless people to stand up for their rights. They want to control them, and that's, you know, what it's all about. And so we've encountered a lot of hostility coming from the free meal that's at 4 o'clock. Not only that, the 12 o'clock meal that's banning deadheads because they're... people who are like gypsies who just come into town. So I don't know, it's becoming very fascist to me in controlling, and I think that's what we're fighting against. I mean, I believe in homeless people taking care of themselves, not depending on programs and services.
Yeah, and I'd like to say along that line, as activists, one of the tasks, or the main task, is to, see that what the problem is, and then try to develop some solutions, generally first through the process, and then when that doesn't work, or if it doesn't work, then taking action which may lead to civil disobedience. But also part of that is to help homeless people become empowered. And so when you attempt to suppress their rights to free speech, whoever is doing that, then you're also, you know, thwarting that process of helping people develop empowerment, self-esteem, so that they can go back into the, you know, regular world, so to speak, and begin to sustain themselves.
And ironically, the people who do this kind of censoring are often the very liberals who began supporting the programs initially. As you see in San Francisco, you know, a police chief has recently been fired who was the big liberal. His actions, that's Hongisto, and he was fired because of course, his ridiculous idea of confiscating newspapers, but he also is engaged in massive sweeps, arrests of nonviolent demonstrators, and an action. Actually, I was personally present when that happened. Here in Santa Cruz, we've been talking about censorship. The censorship at the free meal, which is at River Street every day at 4, flares up. And our concern is that there be a set of guidelines there and at other homeless services where homeless people have some sort of right of review. Group covering the free meal in this case actually is the William James Association, which Fred Gray has some association with. Perhaps that might be a topic he can address at some point. But in fact, perhaps he can address it now.
Well, not now, because Idana in SoCal is on the line and is now on the air. Idana, hello there.
Hi. Hey, anyway, as I was listening, it costs $9 a day to feed a homeless.
That's what it originally was, to feed around 150 people a day. When we initially started the program, I had it for 6 months, and we were gleaning salad bars and restaurants from Watsonville to Davenport, and so it was costing us about $9 a day to feed between 125 and 150 people.
Oh, I was going to say, my husband and I live on 12,000 a year.
Right,
and
exactly.
I don't know how I can get by, but
Yeah, that cost has gone up considerably now.
Oh, and another thing, the businessmen who hire the homeless, I think that's great, but I also think they should get a tax break and deduct what they give, pay wages to the homeless, because they're being taxed to feed them. We're being taxed all the way around. I think there should be a tax deduction on what it costs to pay them.
Well, I don't want to sound kind of...
I'm not a fascist, by
bad-hearted or anything, but, you know, I wonder how many of those jobs that are being offered are jobs that are being paid under the table to avoid having to pay... I'm talking the business person here, to avoid having to pay the associated expense of having an employee.
Well, now, so if I have a gardener come up here, and I'm living on Social Security, how in the world I have to pay him on what I can...
I'm not beating on you about this. I'm just saying that I think that the same people that are talking about how programs maybe are scamming off of tax money are sometimes folks who would hire somebody under the table to avoid paying their rightful...
Well, what do you think the homeless are doing? I'm pretty sure they're scamming.
I'm just saying there's plenty of accusations to throw around, and the thing that keeps coming back to my mind is how important it is to just get out there and do something. It's a real crisis for many people.
Well, I think there's many people trying to help them. But on the other hand, I think they're evading taxes and they're living on tax money. And I think they're getting more benefits in this county than I do as a taxpayer. I'm not eligible. I am too poor to pay taxes, and I'm too rich to get on welfare.
I don't think you'd be prevented from participating in meals programs.
Well, how can I do it? I live out in the country. Who's going to take me in? And not only that, but I manage. I have a budget, and I manage.
Well, that's to your credit, certainly.
I think regarding this, I think I'm glad you're not a fascist, and I don't think you are a fascist.
I absolutely am not.
No,
this is a form of socialism. But
the real fascists, in my mind, are the people in positions of political power who come in on one program and who then use illegitimate police power that is independent of any control.
I think fascists is hate talk.
I'm sorry?
I think Hitler was definitely a fascist.
Yeah, no question about that.
His program was socialist.
Well, I see, again, when I talk about this, I'm usually meaning the use of force, fear, and terror to introduce, to get people to behave in a certain way.
That's the IRS.
Well, I think I probably would agree with you on that, but I'm concerned about local bodies that do that because they are the people on whom we can have some impact, like the city council, like the board of supervisors, like the local police department. I mean, if San Francisco kicked out Itzhongisto, certainly we can kick out Bassett if we want. That's my feeling on it. Similarly with Al Noren. If these individuals do not respect the rights of the people who are, and I don't just mean homeless people, but I mean, I'm concerned about homeless people because that's what the show is about here today. That's what we're focusing on. The citizenry has to act on that. And that, incidentally, is, I formed an organization called Cop Watch. Mike is signaling me to hang it up here, but I'll talk about that later, I hope, when I have a moment.
19 and a half minutes past 11 a.m. on Local News Talk Radio, AM 1080 KSCO. 479-1080 is the number to call, or 685-1080 if you're listening to us in the Watsonville or South County area. The topic of discussion today with guests in the studio, Robert Norris, Fred Gray, Linda Edwards, and Jane Immler, is homelessness and homeless advocacy. We will go to Roger in Santa Cruz, who is not yet satisfied, right after this.
It's amazing how fast time can fly. When you're on the job or taking care of household chores, tying local residents the best interest rates. And now, Commercial Pacific Savings and Loan is open Saturdays. Locally owned Commercial Pacific Savings and Loan, 1041st Avenue, Santa Cruz.
Stimulating conversation and opinion. This is KSCO, the talk of the town.
And the talk of the town is back at 22 minutes past 11 a.m., Saturday special. Today, speaking about homelessness and homeless advocacy, we will go back to the phone lines now. Roger in Santa Cruz.
Yeah, now, hi, back again here.
You're not satisfied.
Well, I just sort of had my blood pressure raised again a couple of times by Mr. Gray. I feel like he's in the act of committing a hate crime against business people here. I can't believe the ignorance of some of the comments he's made. First, he's just the most recent comment to that woman that was just speaking about like businesses are trying to go out there and hire people off the, you know, off the legitimate payroll to avoid taxes. You have to realize that a lot of people want that, okay? And my employees are very upset because, I shouldn't say they're upset, but they get upset when they see that happening because they see other people being able to take home more money who are doing that under the table. And a lot of the people who want that kind of treatment are the homeless. And I don't blame them. They're human beings. Everybody wants to take home as much as possible. But it's not the business's fault that they're being extorted by the government for these taxes, and then they have to explain to their employees, well, this is why you get so much less than the guy who's working down the street, you know, and making more take-home.
All I'm saying, Roger, is that there are many different ways of ripping off the system, and for people to accuse homeless people pretty universally for ripping off the system and to not notice that it's done around them, or maybe even that they're doing it themselves.
It's ripping off the system in that situation. Remember, the system is ripping off the business and the employee. You act as if by accommodating an employee, like the woman who was on the phone, the retired woman who was living on $10,000 a year, whatever it was, technically she's supposed to have workman's comp insurance and be paying all those payroll taxes. If you were really a true public servant upholding the law, you should get her phone number and go make her pay. I mean, I personally think that would be a joke, but I mean, you can't do that. So how can you say to her that you don't want to be down on her, but you have this attitude as if there's the businesses are doing the dirty work here? The second thing is that your comment earlier about the people buying houses and in Santa Cruz and causing the prices to go up, that's totally ignorant economically. All those people did was they saw that these houses were undervalued, okay? The price would have gone up anyway because the price is controlled by the people wanting to buy them, okay? Not by the people who hold them for resale, for speculation. That, you know, that was over 100 years ago they figured out that speculators don't cause price rises.
Oh, I know. Speculators are pure as the driven snow. Speculators are pure-hearted people.
Again, their position in the market is to hold a property of whatever it may be, whether it be lettuce or anything.
For up to a month until they can turn a good profit on it.
What I detect is a lot of envy on your part. You hate the fact that somebody might be able to make a little money that you can't make.
I'll tell you where it's coming from, Roger, since you asked. I mean, I'm a native Santa Cruz, and I spent my whole life in Santa Cruz with the exception of 4 years, 2 years in Vietnam, and 2 years in New Mexico.
Right.
And I can tell you, there were people, in a very greedy, joyous sense, making hand-over-fist money off of properties in Santa Cruz that really caused the rents to be where they are.
You're saying you have not given any...
Gentlemen, can we... This is supposed to be a discussion on homelessness. I mean,
you better tone this guy down.
I've been trying to do that for years. It's impossible.
You've always been a moderating influence.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I appreciate what you're saying, but I would like to get back to, at the risk of talking over you and talking over Fred, about another issue that came up around homelessness, which I've been particularly involved with. I just got out of jail a day or two ago on this very issue, which is the courts and the homeless locally. In Santa Cruz, you know, we've discussed the sleeping ban and how that is used against anybody who's outdoors, which it turns out mostly to be homeless people who fall asleep. One homeless man found a way around that situation. He found that you cannot be jailed for that particular infraction without a jury trial. Local judges had to admit that was true, but other judges in this area refused to acknowledge this. One judge, Heather Morse, called that man in, had him jailed for contempt. And what's happening is we've seen increasing use of contempt powers in court to harass homeless people, political activists. People are simply trying to assert basic rights, even ordinary citizens like yourself, who you know may find themselves at odds with the courts at different times. But I think...
Okay, Robert.
Yeah.
This is on homelessness hell.
Yes.
I spent about 2 months in Japan on a long trip there. I was on a bicycle. Okay.
Correct.
I was basically homeless. I was doing what we talked about earlier, where you said, you know, living a sort of a nomadic lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And... during that time, I slept in places that people would get put in jail for sleeping in Santa Cruz.
Really?
Okay. And nobody put me in jail there.
Was it more tolerant?
Pardon?
Generally more tolerant attitude?
No, it wasn't tolerant. There's sort of an understood thing that if you're on the road, you don't insult the community values of the people whose area you're, quote-unquote, invading. What you do is you don't get out front and in their face and be an activist. If I were to go to Japan and say, I'm a homeless activist, I'm going to sleep in your mall whether you like it or not, That would be disgusting, and that's how the people here feel, okay? If you, you know, if 10 years ago, if the people had kept it under control and not, like, gotten the community's face, you wouldn't be looking at this problem.
Well, you know, they say the same thing about blacks in the South. If only they, you know, kept their noses down and stayed in the back of the bus.
Not keep it in your place. It's
well, no. I mean, I think they're...
If you're passing through, that means you've got to respect the idea...
If you're passing through, but we're not talking about people who are passing through here.
Well, we just did talk about the nomadic lifestyle because a lot of these people are just passing through. I'm just passing through. Hell, I mean, I've been here for, what, 2 decades? I might be gone tomorrow. Who knows?
Well, it's true. But actually, most of the people we're talking about, it does include nomads.
Pardon?
It does include nomads, the people we're talking about. But the three of us who have been here are concerned about,
What about the...
About the local homeless population and the rights that they should have, you know?
What about the respect for the people who are paying for the taxes and paying for the services?
Well, what kind of respect do you want? You mean hide in the bushes for the rest of your life? And
It means not being in people's face about it.
Well,
Like the guy mentioned at the UCSC forum, I mean, he was in our face. You know, he was like saying, feed me or else you're a horrible person.
Well, I think that I got to be honest with you. I think that people have a right to eat, and I think there's enough.
They also have a right.
You have a right not to feed them. I mean, there's no question of that. Those are both rights. You got a right to eat, and you got a right not to feed them. But I think that it's perfectly reasonable to understand people calling for food for those around them
mm-hmm.
when that food exists. It's present. It's it seems to me a small and vital expenditure that our society can afford.
Well,
I mean, I just think that.
Some pay for things. Individuals do.
Well, which individuals in our society can pay for. I mean, as you know, we have organizations that get together to do that, too.
But what an interesting topic. Eating, a right or a privilege?
Eating.
Yeah, it's a very good topic.
Threat or menace.
I'll get off the phone, make some room for somebody else.
Okay, thanks very much, Roger. We'll be right back. Stay with us, Monterey Bay.
Hi, Dan Gamble, Dan Gamble's RV Centers, with some big winners.
We've looked at the same prowler that we took home for I don't know how long.
Yeah, hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question. The moderator, I think, who fell into the hands of the police a few days ago for sleeping outside.
Well, the panelist. That would be Robert Norris.
Okay. I hear about rights and privileges. I haven't heard anything about responsibility. A man knows that he's going to be hungry sometime during the day, and he also knows he's going to have to sleep somewhere at night. Now, what is his responsibility to provide that? Those services to himself.
Well, I think we do have the responsibility to provide those services, Bill. On the other hand, I think you have to look at the policies of a community that...
Why do you look at the policy of...
Because I think that laws which criminalize sleeping everywhere outside are preposterous
uh-huh.
and cruel and stupid. I mean, I just do. I can't understand justifications
opinion.
For them.
Yeah, but that's a personal opinion. You've elected to...
Yeah,
enjoy that lifestyle, and you say that.
Actually, I don't. I wasn't in jail for sleeping outside, Bill. I was in jail because I supported the right of a homeless person to sleep outside and challenge it judicially. He's gone through the court system. This man has slept outside. He acknowledged he would probably be arrested. He went through the court system and he did it as a test case, and he continues to do those kinds of cases.
Sure.
So, I mean, I think he does take responsibility for himself, but there are hundreds and hundreds of people who attempt to do that. And there, you know, I mean, the answer is we all try as best we can to take responsibility for ourselves, I mean, in differing measure.
Well, yes, but going back to what I was really getting, I'm sorry if I've accused you of doing something.
No, I would never sleep outside,
okay.
For heaven's sake.
But the point still is we all have responsibility. And I hear rights, I hear privileges, and, of course, you have the right to do anything you want, but then you also...
But we're not talking about doing anything you want. I mean,
my point is still rights and privileges.
One responsibility.
Versus responsibility.
Breaking in is Fred Gray.
You're going to get hungry before this day is over. They will know they will have to sleep somewhere. What is their responsibility to behave at some minimum community standard?
Bill, I think everybody has responsibility socially, and you know, you've identified one. And I'd throw it back to you that everybody really is responsible for doing something when they see somebody in crisis. And so, you know, it's not enough to sit home and watch the hourly news or something. It's important to get out there and do stuff to help people who are really desperate. And there are a lot of people who are really desperate who hide themselves, are never seen by a program, are never seen by anybody, who are really having trouble.
Are these able-bodied people?
I think that a lot of people, unfortunately, who find themselves in that circumstance are suffering from serious emotional troubles or some other kind of infirmity. And these are folks who are truly suffering who, you know, we all have a responsibility to try to do something to help out there. And a lot of folks I see just sort of sit back on their duff and carp. And I'm not talking about you directly, Bill, but, you know, there are folks out there that are happy to complain, be critical, be hostile, and sit at home in their comfort and not even take in the fact that there are, for instance, there's a 72-year-old man sleeping under the overpass down by the beach. You know, I mean, that's a concrete example. This fellow had worked for 40 years on the wharf, wanted to be near the boardwalk because that's where he had worked. The guy ran a restaurant on the wharf. He's 72 years old. He's in a suit with a necktie in a sleeping bag, November of 87, dying is what was happening with him.
And they're dying this year, too.
So, you know, people have lots of responsibilities. One responsibility is to get out there and do something.
But are there no...
poor houses?
Are there... No. Let's...
Oh, can I comment as a homeless person?
Linda Edwards has...
Who does sleep out in the woods, you know, because... And you talk about responsibilities and stuff. The thing is, in this town in the 70s, people were sleeping out in the woods or whatever and taking responsibility for their own food, place to sleep, but they just preferred this lifestyle for whatever reason, and we have no right to judge that. No one has any right to judge me why maybe I'm not working now as far as like a regular 9-to-5 job. And the thing is I've watched, you know, things change as far as like when the camping ban came in, that created problems for people. When people were taking responsibility for themselves to go out somewhere into the woods. And I'm not talking about somebody gets drunk and lays on the sidewalk. I'm talking about people who go out way into the woods on public land, and they come in and they try to figure out. I mean, I got together with people and we would generate food for each other.
When we did the free food about three years ago, we generated the food for people on the street.
How did I do what?
How did you generate food for yourself?
Well, we get jobs. We work here and there. We just, you know, we just have ways of doing it. It comes our way, or people just help each other. I mean, people on the street, if someone goes out and gets a job and he comes back, he shares his food with other people. If I get a job for a few days babysitting or whatever for somebody or doing some yard work, I share what I had. I'm talking about a few years ago before all this came down. Then they started this camping ban and all these other laws, and they created homelessness. The city itself created homelessness. There was no such thing as homelessness. They created it and made it a problem so they could have something to do about it. And then people are forced out of the woods by sheriffs and park rangers, and so they come in looking for somewhere. The reason they come into the shelters is because they're tired of getting tickets and being harassed by the police and going to jail. And that's the main reason that people come to shelters or free meals, because the bureaucrats own the free meals and they run them. And we weren't allowed to serve food. We got arrested for serving food. And we did it with hardly no money at all, except what we generated. But now they want to control it, and they ask for tons of money, you know, which we never asked for. And that's, you know, that's what it's all about. And then they force people to go to eat there because there's nowhere else to eat. So that's where it's all about. We are responsible for our lives.
You are listening to the Saturday special on Local News Talk Radio for the Monterey Bay, AM 1080 KSCO. My name is Michael Zwirling. With me as guests in the studio today talking about homelessness and homeless advocacy are Jane Immler, Robert Norris, Linda Edwards, and Fred Gray. We invite you to participate. You may call us at 479-1080 or 685-1080. And
Saturday, 4 to 5. Call it in. We'll tell you what it's worth. See you on the radio.
That's the ANA Auction Gallery Show Saturdays on Local News Talk Radio for the Monterey Bay, KSCO.
And that will be today at 4:06 p.m., right after the 4 o'clock edition of CNN News. 479-1080 is the phone number for you to call for your participation in today's Saturday special. And we will go back to the telephones now to Carolyn in Santa Cruz. Hello, Carolyn.
Hi.
It's Carolyn.
Hi. I just wanted to, I heard you talking about how people don't help They just said, and I'm actually somebody who has helped. After the earthquake, I had a homeless person live with me for a year and a half. At some point, I think the problem with it is that we end up enabling people to live in that lifestyle and never get better. And that was my experience. It was a really sad experience for me and my family.
Carolyn, thank you for calling. What's wrong with your telephone? It's humming.
I don't know.
Does it always hum?
No.
Oh. Okay. Well, let's see. Does anybody want to tackle that? Jane? Jane Imler?
Yes. Well, first of all, I would like to thank you for having taken on helping someone like that. And I think that it's very possible to have people become dependent on you. It's just like when you have children. I mean, at some point, you have to, help them stand on their own two feet. But then you need to gradually allow them to, do it on their own. I mean, I don't know what your particular experience was with this, and if you're still there, you may want to share that with us. I don't know, but I don't think that you should, because of that, let that color your whole, idea about homelessness or helping the homeless. An occasional effort to, donate clothes or feed a person or leave a box of sandwiches here or somewhere like that can still be a very helpful thing, or to volunteer some services at the River Street Shelter or in whatever way you feel like that you might be helpful.
Well, what I found is that it really perpetuates the situation. We enable people not to get back on their feet. And, I mean, this is after a year and a half of having somebody live with us who became a part of our family and then chose to go back onto the street and go through the court system and sleep outside. And it's just a really frustrating thing when you see someone begin to get somewhere and then turn.
Carolyn, you can't, I just really want to encourage you not to take the view that at the point when that person left, negated the time and the effort and the support you gave. Because one interesting phenomenon that I've noticed myself is that people can pop back up years after you've been helpful to them and let you know how meaningful that was and what happened and so on. And to take the view that I think you're taking a little bit of a short-sighted view here, and that you ought to be encouraging others to do what you did and continue to do what you did, because you never really know the impact you have on somebody, and sometimes you never find out. But to assume that your impact was kind of meaningless or pointless or something because the person went, I don't think that's true. I think you need to give credit to yourself for doing it. And you need to understand that you may have had a very important impact on this person's life that they may not see and you may not see for years.
Often your expectations can be, too high. And I think it's give yourself credit for what you did. And also,
and they may prefer living the homeless life.
Right,
they may enjoy the alternative lifestyle better than living in a house.
See, and the point is that should not be a taboo thing. That should not be a forbidden thing. And that's the very reason that some of us are out there advocating for the rights of people who do that. We're not looking for big, huge handouts, massive social programs. As I said at the beginning of the program, in fact, we're looking to find ways so that people can live more cheaply and more simply and more honestly and have options without being harassed by police and by communities, and particularly in our community. And what we have locally is, you have people who are hostile to the whole idea of giving anything in terms of rights to homeless people because they associate it with money. Then there are those who feel that the only way you can associate with homeless people is by somehow creating bureaucratic funded programs with paid bureaucrats who set up sets of rules and allow them, to get into the program only on that basis. For instance, we have a group called the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, which has monopolizing a piece of property out at River Street for about a year now, in which homeless people were camping for a period of time until the Citizens Committee drove them off that property. Now, as advocates, we attempted to say, look, Here's a situation where you have 40 or 50 people who are sleeping on a piece of property. They aren't causing any trouble, or certainly less than they would elsewhere. It's not costing a heck of a lot, but this group of bureaucrats, of which unfortunately Fred here is one, was more concerned with a fanciful startup date for a new project, their community house, which hasn't started up and hasn't been funded yet. And they were prepared to drive off homeless people who still have no legal place to sleep in Santa Cruz. And I'm sorry, I'm using you to get this point out. I think it's an important point. I wanted to bring it up. Maybe Fred can respond to that.
Well, my response to that is that, you know, you're missing, and I think intentionally, Robert, some significant information, because I think you know better, and it's typical of these sort of attacks that you voice that are that you know better. And
cut to the bottom line, Fred.
I think I'm getting there.
Okay.
The point is that nobody who wanted a place to stay, who was on that property, ended up without a place to stay. The outcome was that
there are plenty of people now who don't have a place to stay.
The outcome was
that's not true.
The outcome, I mean, talking specifically about the accusation you just made.
Yes.
People were not driven off. There was hardly anybody there, Robert, after we set up another campsite that we set up, an alternate site, at a church in Mid-County. People were happy to go there. For one thing, there were predatory drunks who were back there who were assaulting people. And, you know, you choose to overlook that. You know better.
I don't think that's an accurate statement of what happened, Fred.
That's exactly correct.
We're talking about, actually, for the audience's benefit, an incident that happened last October where homeless people demonstrated to maintain a homeless encampment. What I'm concerned about now is that same property which Fred is speaking of, and which he, to some extent, manages. He manages a group called Community House and is trying to build on that property. It is, I think you've recently voted at one of your meetings to continue to bar homeless people from that property, to post it no trespassing, not to challenge the city's sleeping ban, even though you call yourself the Citizens Committee for the Homeless.
Well, I'll tell you why. It's because the solution, such as it is, of being able to get 37 units up of places that are affordable to people who are poor, in an environment where nobody's doing that, in a locality where that just isn't happening, but for this project, that is important. That is an important thing, and it's going to have benefits that are not only direct to the people who live there, but
it's also going to generate. You can get those 37 units, and at the same time, you can defend the rights of the people that your organization, one would hope, would be bound to defend.
Now I want you panelists to stop fighting amongst yourselves.
Well, I won't.
We're going to move on to Jafin.
Well, you know, Robert,
Santa Cruz,
if it's such this.
Back up the family and head for the fun to the annual Arts, Crafts, and Antique Fair this Saturday from 10 to 5 on the beautiful grounds of the Christ Lutheran Church at the intersection of Highway 1 and Freedom Boulevard in Aptos. You'll find many local and regional artists with quality handcrafts, antiques, collectibles, jewelry, dried floral arrangements, hats, and lots of delicious food. And hey, your kids will have a great time in the newly remodeled playground.
Back after I straighten things out here with this unruly crowd.
Hello, everyone. This is Bob Costas inviting you to join us here this coming Sunday night for another edition of the Coast to Coast Show. This week, we'll open things up with the fight doctor, Ferdy Pacheco, who has a new book just published about his travels with Muhammad Ali. And then it's on to the head of the Baseball Players Association, the sometimes controversial Donald Fear. So, Pacheco and Fear back-to-back this coming Sunday night right here on the Coast to Coast Show.
At 6 on KSCO.
Get out of the rat race. Turn off the road right now and head to Boulder Creek Golf and Country Club between Big Basin State Park and Boulder Creek. Arrive for breakfast, play 18 holes of golf, have lunch. Dinners are served Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday nights. And if you choose, spend a weekend in a beautiful condominium set amongst the redwoods. It's time to get out of the rat race. Turn off the crowded highway and head to the Boulder Creek Golf and Country Club. Free food, great golf, a great place. Call in advance if you want a condo. Boulder Creek Country Club. It's only 25 minutes from Santa Cruz.
10 minutes before noon on Local News Talk Radio, AM 1080, KSCO for the Monterey Bay. Michael Zwirling with you along with Robert Norris, Fred Gray. Linda Edwards and Jane Immler. We're talking about homelessness and homeless advocacy, and we will be right back after you hear the answer to the probing question, how many 1080s are there?
There's only one 1080, your local news talk radio for Monterey Bay.
And back to John on line 5 in Santa Cruz. John, you're on the air.
Thank you. I just kind of agree with what Mr. Gray was saying. If I'm not mistaken, isn't Robert, Mr. Norse has run out of the shelter program by the people he supposedly represents. And they even threw an outhouse that was on fire on his front lawn over to his house somewhere.
Actually, that was done by some of the people who ran the program, who have been trying to kind of dampen down activism for the last few years. And this is actually what I was talking about. The opposition you see to activism comes not only from people who are conservative and who maybe have that bent of mind, but also from bureaucrats who feel their own programs are threatened. Now, the woman who runs the free meal, Karen Gillette, has been an opponent of activism for about a year and a half. And what happened was in this demonstration, which Fred and I were talking about, actually I was talking about it with him, where we tried to have a campground and support this campground, and homeless people tried to stay there. The free meal, which was adjacent, the people who ran the free meal were very nervous that this might somehow impact them. And they, several of them, organized essentially a vigilante action. They threatened people who were in the demonstration. They would not let them eat. They, of course, personally badmouthed me. They eventually descended to vandalism, and they threw a porta-potty on the property. But that was not homeless people. That was workers at the free meal who were under the management and direction of Karen Gillette. And it's not appropriate to smear the homeless community with the actions of a few reactionary people who are protecting their own problem, I mean their own program, and who seem to have a problem with activists who are engaged in trying to extend homeless rights.
Okay, we've got about 8 minutes left in this program today, so if you're going to call us and want to participate in this broadcast, you may do so, but you must do so within the next 8 minutes or so. 479-1080 or 685-1080. We will go now to Michael in Watsonville. You have questions, Michael.
Before that, Mike, before I make it, I'd like to make a statement.
Sure.
But I sort of feel that this homelessness actually is more of a national problem. Not only is it confined to Santa Cruz, but I've also noticed that as we've traveled around the country, that a lot of people that don't conform to our normal, what you'd say, the working society, have a tendency to migrate to warmer climes, and then this presents a problem for those people that actually live and pay taxes in that area. But the questions were, what percentage of the people, of the homeless, I should say, are actually returned into the working business world? And the other one is that if there was a camping site set up somewhere in the county, would this eventually turn into another welfare boondoggle, or do you think that whoever is going to run it could actually keep the lid on so it doesn't turn into a migrating type of thing from everyone in the various cities of California?
Well, I would like to first of all address your latter question about one mass campground. When I first became an activist or started along that road, I supported that notion. I don't any longer, because I think that when you put that many people together, and I'm sure that I would get some dispute from my other activists here at the table, mm-hmm. I think that you're looking for a lot of problems, because many of the people that are homeless are living on the edge or ill, either physically or mentally, maybe have substance abuse problems, and when you put all those people together in one site, you inevitably, self-destruct. Now, what I would like to see, if we do have to have camping bans, then I would like to see just designated areas where, smaller numbers of people could gather, or also parking areas where people who had vehicles, that is, if we have to have a camping ban. Ideally, it would be just to, set the camping bans aside and have people use discretion in where they sleep. But I personally would be opposed to one large campsite, but I'll let the other activists also address that issue.
Wait a second. Betty in Santa Cruz has a one-liner. Go ahead,
okay.
Betty.
Yeah. Did I hear somebody say that this is a lifestyle of choice for people, for some people, and they choose to live this way, and that is their right to live this way? I just want to put in, where do I apply? I would like to live in Pasachampo. I don't have the money. Where do I apply to get so that the public can help me live where I want to live in the style that I want to be accustomed to.
The public can help you live? Well, who talked about the public helping anybody live there? Just maybe the public not arrest you for having to sleep at night. That's the question.
Well, either I misunderstood or what somebody, I can't distinguish between the voices, but somebody on the panel said, look, they want a simple lifestyle. This is how they choose to live, and they have a right to live like that?
Yes, I think Linda said that. But, I mean, they have the right to live that way. They're not asking for public support. They're not asking for public funding. If you wanted to go to Paso Tiempo and live in a house there, obviously, you'd have to somehow get some kind of...
And I could tell you the stereotype that that this is true of everybody just is wrong. It's a stereotype. It isn't true of everybody.
Well, I don't know what you mean by stereotype. I mean, are there...
This notion that you know, maybe all homeless people are people that just want to live a free lifestyle.
No, but somebody was advocating that the homeless lifestyle... should be a choice for people who want to live that way, and at the same time, there are programs on public money set up to help the homeless. Now, how do you equate those two statements?
Well, there are two different groups of homeless people. Some use the program, some don't. I think Linda here was speaking of those who are mostly those who don't, those who are, concerned simply about not being harassed by the law. But I want to say one thing with respect to this whole question of camping zones and parking areas. The city council's Scott Kennedy, a city council member in Santa Cruz, last December had promised to get back to us with a report on a place where women who have to live and sleep in their vehicles could park and sleep safely in a parking lot on city property. It has been, 5 months? We have not heard from Scott Kennedy. We have not heard from the city manager's office. I encourage people in the audience who are concerned about this to call 429-3550, which is the city council hotline, and speak to them about this dereliction. You have people who are at risk and people who are illegal at night sleeping.
And we will go now to Curly in Felton. You're on the air. Hello, Curly.
Hello. I'd like to make one comment. I know that an awful lot of these people, you have said there's no public money involved. A lot of these people are on welfare. A lot of them are heavy drinkers or something else.
Have you done a survey? Do you know how many people, what percentage?
No, I did a survey, there's on the streets, and I said, I don't know about it. And one of them was drunk every day. I think that a lot of those people out there, maybe 80%, is... out there because they want to be. And they said, well, it's higher than that. I think that this self-supporting thing is not true. I think that definitely they're on Medicare or whatever care you got down here.
Well, I think that those people who are out there, they have problems. But I think that certainly they deserve, for instance, not to be harassed by police unless they're engaging in actual crimes or criminal behavior. Apropos of which, I encourage people who are interested in Copwatch to call 427-1205, which is a program which is going to be monitoring police misconduct. Sorry to throw these numbers in at you folks, but there you are.
We will go now to Richard, a Santa Cruz native, who has a general subject he wants to discuss. Hello, Richard.
Hello, Michael. How you doing?
Fine. How are you?
Pretty good. I've never had a home. You know that?
No.
I guess that makes me homeless, doesn't it?
Well, not homely, at least, we hope.
I mean, Michael and I went to school and graduated together. What, 1970?
Oh, it's that, Richard. Yes.
Yeah, and I went over and served my country and two times, as a matter of fact, in that stupid war in Vietnam and come back here and been treated like a dog ever since. So I'm not on the streets. But I'm living on a pension, and the pension's not enough to get me a house, where I'm from, anyway.
Yeah.
And the sad part about it is I've seen a lot of those homeless people out there, too, and the money that they get is just nothing compared to these B-1 bombers, and I can see why I have them run around drunk.
I know.
I mean, it's a sickening sight to be out there.
Right. Richard, hate to do it. We've got to go. We've only got about 20 seconds left of this broadcast. Want to thank the guests in the studio, Fred Gray, Robert Norris, Jane Imler, and Linda Edwards. I'm sorry, I'm finally going to get it right.
And thank you to KSCO.
And, so join us next week for the Saturday special. We're going to start doing some candidates forums. It's coming up on 12 noon.
Local Talk Radio, AM 1080, KSCO, Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey.
From the CNN News Center in Atlanta, I'm Jenny West. No maiden anymore. The space shuttle Endeavour and her 7-member crew return to Earth in a little less than 2 hours, the last leg of a journey that saw itself extended by 2 days. NASA set some new records with this mission, and another first takes place when Endeavour touches ground. NASA's Mark Hess says the shuttle will test a new drag chute.
It will probably give us better...
And that's it for the 1992 flashback. Back to 2023 again. But don't get dizzy. We're going yet back again to a Bathrop Spears broadside show that never got archived, but that we're archiving now. It's the February 2nd, 2000 show, which features a long interview with Frank Pusilik. He was working with the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, which controlled property, which is now owned by the, I guess it's owned by the city, I would imagine, as part of the Coral Street complex, maybe the nonprofit that runs the housing matters, or as I call them, funding matters, owns it, I don't know. But at that time, there was a significant controversy, well, there still is, about establishing meaningful campgrounds for the majority of homeless folks in Santa Cruz. And Pusilik proposed a safe ground or safe zone or safe spaces program, which was not popular with politicians, one of whom, Catherine Byers, was on the Citizens Committee for the Homeless Board of Directors, and he was axed and, as he describes it, denied employment in Santa Cruz because it was politically unpopular. Or perhaps he was politically unpopular for proposing it with the powers that be. James Ney, another activist who is active on the streets, rounding up signatures for demands at city council that had some hope of being at least given lip service, because at that time, the city council between 1998 and 2002 had a majority with the same Catherine Byers, who at one time was regarded as liberal on this issue, homeless civil rights and homeless shelter, as well as Keith Sugar, Chris Crone, and Tim Fitzmaurice, who the last three ran on a progressive ticket and were supposed to be supportive of things like reforming the police department, dealing with the need for homeless survival camps and shelter, and essentially ending criminalization of homeless. They failed to do that. And a number of the shows in 2000 went on about this issue, the ones that my shows, that is. So this is one of them, and perhaps I'll be archiving more, but be advised that any phone numbers you hear are likely not usable, except, of course, for the age-old, eternal, and ever-valuable Huff phone line, which is 831-423-4833, or 423-HUFF. So, enjoy it. If you want a more lengthy description of it, it should be posted within a few days of the initial archiving of this show. On the Huff website as a description, which you can review, and that's one of the reasons for archiving these shows, is both to make them accessible and to make them visually accessible, so you don't have to listen to the entire show to get some idea of where to go if you're looking for a particular subject, a particular person, although it's not at all exhaustive, but it does give you some description of the longer interviews. If you go to the Huff website, look under the Huff blog, the full blog on huffsantacruz.org. So, I leave you with this latest flashback from February 2nd, 2000.